I've always wanted to go to travel to Israel and Palestine, and I've wanted to go for several years. And then last summer was the first time that I actually had time, money, and even found a trip that would take me into parts of Israel as well as the West Bank. So I booked my trip, and I was really eager to go. This was the first time that I had ever been to Israel and Palestine. And as a Jewish woman, I was interested in seeing for myself what life was like for Israelis and for Palestinians. Many family members, especially on my mom's Jewish side of the family, continue to ask me why I didn't simply go on the standard trip to Israel, for example, birthright. Before leaving on my trip, my answer was simple. I wanted to see for myself what life was like for Israelis and for Palestinians living in both Israel and the Israeli-occupied West Bank. If I had gone on birthright, they only tour Israel and Israeli cities, and they don't cross over into the West Bank. And if I had gone on this type of a tour to Israel, I wouldn't have been shown Palestinians or how Palestinians are living. So I decided to go on a tour that showed me both worlds, Israel and the Israeli-occupied Palestinian West Bank. The trip I went on, many people are asking me about that lately, was an educational trip in which we met with NGOs, teachers, and nonviolent protesters and their families. The NGOs we met with focus on farming rights, legal rights, housing rights, and women rights for Palestinians living in the West Bank as well as Israel. The delegation was diverse in age, race, and religious affiliation. I'm Jewish, and two of the other young women who were also subpoenaed along with me that I traveled with are Palestinian Americans. Unlike me, their family has roots to the land that is now Israel. Their grandparents are on both their mom and their father's sides were born and raised in a Palestinian city that is now part of Israel. They no longer have any family in Israel or in Palestine, and like me, they wanted to see for themselves what life is like for Israelis and for Palestinians. I do still find it baffling that I, unlike them, have a birthright to travel to Israel and for free simply because I'm Jewish, but my two Palestinian American friends don't have those rights, even though they have ties to that land. All three of us, of course, were a little nervous about going on this trip. We didn't know how or what we would see or what we would encounter when we got there. I was nervous for a different reason. I was nervous about being Jewish and traveling throughout the West Bank. And they were nervous because they're Palestinian and they, you know, were nervous about traveling throughout Israel. When I first arrived in the West Bank, I was scared to tell anyone that I met that I was Jewish. I heard tons of rumors here in the United States about Palestinian hatred towards Jews and especially Americans. What I discovered was that when my two Palestinian friends introduced me to everyone we met, whether it was on the street, in shops, even, you know, children playing outside, or for full families, my Jewish identity didn't hinder anyone from inviting us in and welcoming us as if we were members of their own families. Everywhere we went, everyone we spoke to really treated us as members of their families. Looking back, I regret ever believing that Palestinians would have treated me any differently, simply because I'm Jewish. I had been nervous for no reason, but my two Palestinian friends learned that their fears were a little bit more legitimate. Unfortunately, Israelis were not very kind to them while we were in Israel. Children would shy away from them. No one ever offered to have tea with us. And of course, when we were first arrived in the airport in Israel, my two friends were detained for 10 plus hours simply because their grandparents were born and raised in Palestine. The treatment they received in the Tel Aviv airport was completely unfair and racist in comparison to what I received when I got there. They received 10 hours of detainment and questioning after 10 plus hours of traveling on an airplane. They were exhausted and they didn't do anything wrong. They were traveling for the same reasons that I was traveling, but because I'm Jewish, I was let in immediately without really any questioning, and because they're Palestinian, they were red flagged. The same was true when we were leaving the airport. Because I'm Jewish, I was able to skip many of the checkpoints, and actually, instead of asking me any real questions of where I had traveled to throughout Israel or the West Bank, the only question I was asked was, do you speak Hebrew? Do you plan to learn Hebrew? And what member or what synagogue are you a member of? And you know you can always come back and emigrate here. Of course, they went through every single checkpoint, and it actually took them an additional hour to get through the airport security than it took me. I think what we experienced, what they experienced, is just a form of intimidation, and I don't think it has absolutely anything to do with security. A couple of months after returning to Chicago, the three of us began to face a very different type of intimidation. This time, it was from our own government and the FBI. To go back a little bit, to what happened before we were contacted. On September 24th, the FBI subpoenaed 14 anti-war and international solidarity activists to appear in front of the grand jury. Four of them had their homes raided and many of their possessions were confiscated. All 14 who were originally targeted by the FBI refused to testify. In December in 2010, 9 additional people were subpoenaed, including myself and my 2 friends that I traveled with. On Friday morning, December 3rd, I received a phone call from an FBI agent. He asked if I had about 30 minutes to sit down and speak with him so that he could ask me some questions. At first, of course, I was like, oh, sure. But then when I asked him what it was that he wanted to talk to me about, he said he wasn't at liberty to discuss it. I then asked if I needed a lawyer present, and he said it was up to me, but that I was in no trouble and that they just had a few questions. I felt something was a little suspicious about him telling me that he just wanted to ask me some questions, but he wouldn't tell me what they were about. So I said I had to consult a lawyer, and I checked my calendar and get back to him. I reiterated yet again that it would be easier for me to meet with him if I knew why he wanted to sit down and talk to me. He then said that it had to deal with the trip that I took last summer. He then emphasized, I think you know which trip I'm talking about. And of course, that was my trip to Israel and Palestine. After I spoke to him, of course, I called a lawyer. I then called my 2 Palestinian American friends and alerted them that I had been contacted by the FBI and they would probably be getting similar phone calls. By the time they were on the phone with one of the lawyers, the FBI agent who had contacted me originally was actually banging on their door, and they had actually gone to their home to ask them, I guess, similar questions. When the girls refused to talk to them, they were then handed subpoenas, and the agent told my lawyer that I would also be receiving a subpoena. As a side note, it is over a month later. I still don't have a subpoena. They've canceled a couple times on me. I'm supposed to get it again this week. Again, there's only 8 days before this grand jury date, so hopefully they kind of get their act together. So I guess what I am really wondering is, you would think that Jews and Palestinians going together to visit Israel and Palestine is something that the U.S. government would encourage. Instead, all 3 of us are now being ordered by the FBI to go before a grand jury to talk about our trip to Palestine. The U.S. government claims to support peace between Israel and Palestine, so why is it that a Jewish woman is being subpoenaed for traveling with her Palestinian friends to Israel and Palestine? Our government says it supports separate Israel and Palestinian states, so why does the FBI investigate us because we went to Israel and Palestine and we met with Palestinians? Top U.S. government leaders have done the same type of work that we've done. They've met with the same type of groups that we met with, and yet we're being targeted. I went there so that I could make up my own mind about what I saw, and I think that honestly our government is simply scared that Americans are traveling to both Israel and Palestine simply because they don't want Americans to see what Israel is doing to Palestinians. They don't want us to see for ourselves what is really going on there and what Israel is involved with, because our country has a lot of money invested in Israel. I think that this entire case is obviously just a form of intimidation, and they're trying to hinder the entire movement of Palestine solidarity work. And of course, what I've been encouraging everyone, instead of being scared, to actually go on a trip like my friends and I went on, especially Americans, especially Jewish Americans, and see for yourself what's going on in both Israel and the West Bank, and see what all of our tax money is paying for. And don't allow our government to intimidate us from traveling legally to both Israel and Palestine, and don't allow them to criminalize those who have done so in the past. Since the FBI originally called me on December 3rd, I've been speaking out publicly, like today, about these subpoenas and against them, and trying to inform as many Americans as I can about this case. I wrote a statement, which I actually read within this talk, about being subpoenaed, which is actually on several national lists. They're on indie media websites across the country, and even Rabbi Brant Rosen put it on his blog. I've also been very active with the Committee Against Political Repression, which has sent delegates to Washington, D.C. to get members of our government to support us and to pressure our government to squash these subpoenas. We're actually organizing a National Day of Action. It's going to be on Tuesday, January 25th, which is the date that myself and the other 8 are being subpoenaed to appear in front of the grand jury. And I encourage everyone here, and to encourage all of your friends as well, to come out on January 25th. It's going to be at 4:30 at the Dirksen Federal Building. We have flyers out in the front. It's at 219 South Dearborn. And please stand with us and demand that our government puts an end to this attack on our civil liberties. It could be any of us. Yeah, there's flyers over there. And also, I would encourage everyone to check out our website if you haven't done it, which is stopfbi.net. You can see on that website all the events going around the country. It's not just here in Chicago. There's actually going to be 30-plus cities that are participating in this national event on January 25th. And then you can also, on our website, glance over the 300-plus organizations. There's unions, which includes a teachers union, religious groups that have written solidarity statements, signed the petition, get everyone you know to sign the petition, and encourage all professors that you know to add their name to the 300-plus professors who have signed the open letter on the website, including Noam Chomsky. And again, start telling anyone and everyone that you know what's going on. Many Americans have no clue what's happening right now. We need to stand together to oppose these subpoenas and demand that they're squashed. The other thing is we are also fundraising. There's 24 of us, which is not going to be cheap legally. And so we are going to be collecting money at the end for legal fees. Feel free to drop whatever you've got in the box. And there's also a sign-in petition thing that I'll hand around. But thank you.